Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 133, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios downtown Wheeling on a very hot Wednesday afternoon, rain clearing out of the area. The heat's starting to crank back up, but we got lots to talk about. People think this is a dead time of year, which it kind of is for your mainstream sports, your basketball, your hockey. You still got baseball going. You got no football yet, except for Canadian football and, of course, Australian rules football. But as far as North American style football, very little bit to talk about, but we're going to talk about some here today. We talked about some last week, so it's good to be back with you here for the second week after a little hiatus as we get you ready for a exciting few weeks leading up to NFL training camp and so forth. But we got plenty of other sports to talk about. We got Wimbledon going on right now. We're right in the middle of racing season. Golf, not a great event this week at the John Deere Classic, but nonetheless, it is on the card, and we can try to get some winners there. We got soccer going on here. We got the Gold Cup winding down. We got the Club World Cup winding down. And then we got the Women's Euros heating up. So that's right around the corner. Put some plays up for that already. BLS underscore PRP is where you can find all the stuff in between shows, stuff that's time sensitive. Get on there immediately. Even if you don't want to follow us, just bookmark that page and at least get on there. Check out the plays. Been a pretty strong run for us. We were up 39 units last week, 39.10 overall, so a pretty solid week for us. Golf up 5 units, plus 570. We had some good top 20s and top 10s last week with Ben Griffin, Harry Hall, and Jake Knapp. We'll talk more about those guys, a couple of those guys at least, in the John Deere Classic portion of the program. AFL, 9-7 again last week, 67-45 since early May, since the last show I did before last week's show. We are on a 67-45 run. Again, not where I want to be. 60%, that's not good enough for me. We were hitting a little bit better than that. We were close to 70 early in the AFL season. We're not early. Probably maybe about round 4 or 5, we started cranking it in. Had some pretty good opinions. Had some really bad luck. Missed on a lot of totals. Very close ones. Like really, like 1 point, half point type stuff. But their losses, maybe you got a better number than I did and your record's a little bit better, so sometimes that'll work out like that. But 60% nonetheless over the last 2 months, we will take that anytime. Again, I want to improve on that. Feel like I'm starting to get a very good idea of who can win this league and who cannot. So maybe some additional AFL futures and maybe an update on our AFL futures on next week's show. Again, this is Better's Last Stand, 133, episode 133, that is, here on the Watchdog Network. Thanks for tuning in. Good to be back with you, getting you ready for an exciting weekend of action. NASCAR finally cashed a winner in NASCAR, finally. It's only taken us 18 races or so, 19 maybe even, counting the All-Star race. But Chase Elliott gets the victory lane at Atlanta at 16-1. You might have found him even better than that, but I had 16-1. Saw some 14s. I saw some 18s that I couldn't find anywhere. Saw it after the fact. So 16-1 on Chase Elliott. We had the first, second, and third. If we had a trifecta box, it would have paid out very, very well. Would have been a really, really nice trifecta box. Elliott, Keselowski, and Bowman. 1, 2, 3. Gave them all out here on the show last week. Bang, bing, bang, boom. Good one there. Ricky Stenhouse runs 6th for us in the 47 car. So we had 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 6th. So very, very good performance there. Up 25-50 in NASCAR on the week. F1, no official plays there. The McLarens dominate that race as usual. Tennis, very strong start in Wimbledon. I haven't tallied up our totals from today, but we hit some nice ones over the last 2 days, at least early in this week. 9-4 to start it out on our match bets. We're 1-3 in our futures, but that's all right because a couple of those futures were stabs in the dark on the men's side. They weren't some of the futures that we really depended on, so more of a really high-risk ones. We're 1-3 in our futures that have been graded so far. We lost with Medvedev, who went out early. He was a shot in the dark. If I knew if he could have got past the first or second round, he'd have had a shot of making a run, but he could not. Musetti, again, a hangover for him. He plays well on clay. Had been pretty good on grass, but just too much tennis, I guess, in too short of a time. And then the fate of Coco Gauff, it pays off immediately as Diana Yastremska upsets her outright. Had that one at plus 375. We cashed her plus the game. So we had some very good winners here, some good plus price winners, lots of dogs, lots of the top players going out of this tournament. You already have the top four of the top 10 seeds on each side already out, but that's even more today. I haven't totaled up. I know Jasmine Paolini went out today. There may have been another guy that got upset today. Alert Yuri Lehechka, he's on a top 10 seed, but he got beat. Yeah, so a lot of surprises here. Actually, it's not surprising. Like, Coco Gauff getting beat, not a surprise. She even admitted it. She's like, I couldn't celebrate and then get ready for this tournament. It's just too close together. And that's what we were kind of playing on. Plus, she has never been really that great at Wimbledon. So, she'll be back ready for the U.S. Open. So, we'll be back on the Coco train for the U.S. Open. She will be ultra motivated for the U.S. Open. So, if you can find an early price on her right now, it might not be worth a play right, or it might be worth a play right now. So, nonetheless, very good start in the French Open. We put up some plays today. I'm not sure we did quite as good, but you never know. BLS underscore PRP on X is where you want to find those ones. Again, a very strong start. We had a great, great French Open, and now we're looking to have a very good Wimbledon. That is the key. That is the goal here on Bettors Last Stand. All right, let's shift into some basketball here. As we're done with the NBA, we're done with the NHL. Recapping a little bit about some of the free agency. You saw Florida keep their core intact, some of their really good players. They have an incredible roster up until the year 2030, just about. Goaltending will be the only issue for them. Will they hold on to Bobrovsky? Can they afford him? I don't know. That's the question. But, man, if these guys don't all get old at once, they're going to be a thorn in the side of a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference and the West, obviously, in the finals. But the question comes, how much hockey is too much hockey? We don't know that yet. But Florida possibly looking to emulate the dynasties of the New York Islanders in the 80s. Like, this is what it's getting close to right now. And I'm not saying they're going to win the Cup next year, but, man, they're going to have a damn good chance to get to the conference finals for sure. They've got a great roster. They're built top to bottom, down the middle. Great center play, two-way play, good blue line, good goaltending, top caliber point-producing guys, and they have the big game-type guys, your Tkachuks and your Marchands and your Sam Bennetts. Not to mention, you got your Sam Reinhardts, who's a 50-goal scorer. So, and Alexander Barkov is your captain. I mean, you are a very, very good team. So, well done to them. NBA, it's up in the air everywhere. Rockets, they're like a second choice at some places. I can't get behind that. So, I think Denver's getting slept on a tad there. I thought that the futures didn't adjust enough from what they've done. Milwaukee making moves. Lots still to unpack there in the NBA as the offseason is hot and heavy. Celtics revamping their roster. All these teams just look completely different. It's amazing. Like, you just got a few teams that'll add key pieces here and there. Lakers look like a train wreck. No big three this weekend. They'll be in Boston next week, so they are off for the 4th of July. Indiana Fever, they win the Commissioner Cup last night against the Lynx. Didn't see that one coming without Caitlin Clark. Started out, Lynx were very good early, but then I will say Stephanie White looks like she made some very good adjustments in play. Very good job of coaching by her. Gets where she needs to go. She started to get some easy baskets for her team. Momentum started to come. They started to knock down shots. And they were really good, and the Lynx looked baffled. Like, they didn't know what hit them towards the end of the first half, and Indiana kept it on. So they win it without Caitlin Clark, so a very nice win there for the Indiana Fever. I gave out a few picks last week on the show from the WNBA that I thought were interesting, still do. Golden State to make the playoffs or the Mystics to make the playoffs. I think one of those two teams is going to get in, and I'm not really all that certain that the Las Vegas Aces are going to crank it up and make it into the playoffs for sure. They should, but will they? I don't know. Sparks over 15.5 wins. They threw one away the other day. Very, very bad loss to Chicago. So not sure they'll be able to get to where they need to go with that, but we'll give it a try, and we'll continue to dial in on the WNBA as we get down the stretch there in midseason. All-Star game coming up here shortly, and then we'll be in the playoff stretch run. So again, all these plays posted at BLS underscore PRP. All right, Major League Baseball, teams to watch. Heading into the All-Star break, it's fast approaching. Look at these teams, how they've been producing. If you bet $100 on these teams every game for the whole year so far, you'd be up this many. Tigers, the leader, $1,245. So you'd be almost 13 games above your 500 mark as a single unit player of $100. This is just stressed that it's a $100 play. So $911, you'd be up if you were on the Houston Astros every game. You'd be up $811. If you were on the Cardinals every game, you'd be up $770. If you were on the Cubs every game, and you would be up $727. If you were on the Angels every game. So the Tigers, Astros, Cardinals, Cubs, and Angels, all your best ROI teams in Major League Baseball so far. I gave out some plays last week. I still think Boston's worth a play. They're not done yet. Giants, although they had a bad weekend, not good. Reds playing pretty good baseball, although they ran into a tough Red Sox team the other night and beat them up a little bit, but that doesn't matter. They're resilient, and I still can't get behind the Yankees. I can't get behind the Yankees. Listen to this stat. Let's see. Where is this? I had a note here on the Yankees. Yes. Okay. So the Yankees, they snapped a streak of 16 straight unders on Sunday when they won 12-5 over the A's. They played 17 of their last 19 games under the total. Yeah, that's good. But they've also, like, games where they haven't scored any runs. So they're not hitting. I think this is a one-man lineup. And it's kind of what I expected last year. But they had Soto. And then Stanton had a otherworldly performance in the playoffs. He will not have that again. This team has issues. Volpe, I told you 2 years ago, that guy stunk. He's in the minors. He's garbage. He's not the next Derek Jeter as much as they wanted him to be. He's nowhere near that. So I'm off the Yankee train. I think the Yankees stink. I think they're vulnerable. I think somebody out of that Western Division, as I said last week, Texas, Houston, or Seattle will come alive, make some moves, and get over the hump and take out the Yankees. National League, though, oh boy, it's going to be a bloodbath in the National League in these playoffs. Wow. The matchups are going to be incredible. Dodgers can't do anything wrong right now. Atlanta just lost two more pitchers. I mean, Atlanta might be toast now. And now you lost Schwellenbach. He's got an issue. So, I mean, you got a lot of problems with Atlanta right now, injury-wise. They get Acuna back and they start losing pitchers. Big, big problems there for the Braves. But can't rule them out. Can't count them out. They're a veteran-laden team. And a few years ago when they were without Acuna, they made a big run. And maybe they get busy at the trade deadline, or maybe they're sellers. I don't know. John Deere Classic. Okay, so last week in golf, Pat Kitar, who he gave out on the show a few times here, didn't like him last week, cashed around 80-1 at the Rocket Classic. Now you get the John Deere Classic. Oh, boy, about 30 under par, probably win this sucker. Ben Griffin, your favorite. He's been playing great, but I can't play him at 14-1. It's not an awful number. I can't talk you off of it if you want to get on him, but... we'll pass on Ben Griffin. He did cash one for us back in May, right when I was going on vacation. So that was a nice one there. But I'm going to be on Denny McCarthy at 22-1. I'm also going to try Jason Day. Jason Day starting to get healthy. He was the number one player in the world for a while. Really, really good player. Fundamentally sound player. Can do everything. He's a great, great putter. So that really makes a difference on a course like this that you can score. Every guy's going to be in a position to score here. So can he make putts? That will be the question. Let's see. Denny McCarthy, also a great putter. He's 22-1. So Day and McCarthy, top choices. Micah Thorbjornsson, 28-1. I don't really love him here. I'm not sure if he can win this tournament. He played well here last year, but we're going to take a stab with him. Chris Goddard, he played pretty good in the U.S. Open and some of these other tournaments recently. So I'm going to take a shot with him at 28-1. Followed by my man, Jake Knapp. He's had a great season. He's 29-30-1 range. I really like him. Kevin Yu at 34-1. Bud Colley. Starting to round into form, we'll go with him at 40-1. And then Nico Echeverria, he's been really good putter, around 50-1. He could find him. And then Doug Gim bringing up the rear, he's at 80-1. So plays for the John Deere Classic, Denny McCarthy, Jason Day, actually my top play. Denny McCarthy, Michael Thorbjornsson, Chris Goddard, Jake Knapp, Kevin Yu, Bud Colley, Nico Echeverria, and Doug Gim. Awful tournament, though. Don't expect people to be laying too many eyes on the John Deere Classic. Just make your bets and move on to the next thing. That is for sure. You don't want to spend a whole lot of time watching the John Deere Classic. It's going to be like watching a golf scramble out at Crispin. All right. Promise you there'll be a little bit of football on the program today, and we're going to talk about that right now. First, let's recap a few things that I gave out on last week's show. If you missed it, from an NFL standpoint and a college football standpoint, made a few early bets here, just early kind of instincts, a little bit of data digging, not a massive deep dive yet, but these were some teams that I was interested in last week. I like the Rams over 9.5 wins. I like the Cowboys over 7.5 wins. I know that will surprise people. I've been against the Cowboys the last 2 years. I like Cleveland over 4.5 wins. I think the rumors of the demise of the Browns are more than greatly exaggerated here. This is not a bad roster. Like, their roster isn't all that different than last year. And people were touting them to win 10 games. Yeah, quarterback's a question, but Flacco at least will be stable. And they're not going to be doing crazy stuff like the Indianapolis Colts were last year with him. They're going to run the ball. They got their line is going to be okay. Their defense is going to be good. They're going to try to win low-scoring games. And that's what they can do. I think the Browns over 4.5 is an absolute slam dunk. I think they win minimum of 6 games in a division that is said to be good, but it really isn't. It's very top-heavy with the Ravens. Chicago, over 7.5. Down on them last year. Like what they did in the offseason. We'll see. Do they have the coaching? That will be the key. If Ben Johnson's a good head coach, they will win 8 games minimum. New Orleans under 5.5. I think they're tanking. But I for Arch Manning, I would assume, but who knows? There's just a bad roster, and I'm not a Kellen Moore guy. I don't think he's very good. And then Cincinnati, under 10.5. I'd even go under 9.5. I think this team's awful, and I think they'll prove that I'm right again for the third straight year, and they'll probably finish, if not last, I won't guarantee they'll finish last here because the Steelers, the wheels could fall off of them, and then, you know, if the Browns are in a situation where they start a rookie quarterback towards the end of the year, they may finish last in that division, but I have no faith in Cincinnati. I cannot understand the prices on these on this team. The Burrow love, the prices on them to win a division, to make the playoffs, to win the Super Bowl. It is astounding to me that so many people see something completely different than me. So, I don't know. Let's try to make it 3 years in a row with the Bengals sucking, as I would expect. Vikings to make the playoffs, plus 110. Ravens, minus 140 to win the AFC North. Rams, plus 180 to win the NFC West. These are all plays I gave out last week. Drake May over 2.5 rushing touchdowns on the season, minus 105. I think that's a damn lock if he doesn't get hurt. Tank Bigsby over 4.5 rushing touchdowns at even money. Still looking for a Jordan Mason number. If anybody can find that, please message me, call the show on the Watchdog Network, something. Give me a little bit of help there tracking down a Jordan Mason touchdowns prop for the season. Kenneth Walker over 850.5 yards, minus 105. Brian Thomas to lead the league in receiving yards at 12-1. Those all plays that we gave out here on last week's show. Now, this week, I got a few more. Actually, I got college plays, too. Southern Miss, I gave them out over 4.5 and 5.5 wins. Marshall under 5.5 wins. California under 5.5 wins. And Alabama over 9.5 wins. Those, again, all plays that we gave out on last week's show. So, this week, what do I got in store for you? NFL add-ons. Here we go. So, I like Tyler Warren, tight end for the Colts. 525.5 receiving yards. I like him over that total. I think he'll be a very, very big security blanket for them, regardless of who their quarterback is. You saw what Brock Bowers did last year, livening up the Raiders offense. I think Warren will do the same here. And I like him over the total of his receiving yards. First coach fired. I'm going out on a limb here to stick with my Bengals prediction that they suck. At some point, they're going to have to say, Zach Taylor, you're a problem. You're culpable in this. You cannot manage this team. You can never have them ready at the beginning of the season. It takes them forever to get going. They don't manage the game well at all. So he's 9-1 to be fired first. So we're going to take a stab with that. Fewest wins in the entire league. I'm going with the Indianapolis Colts. I think they're a really bad roster. We hated them last year. I was never been an Anthony Richardson guy. I think it's laughable that that guy's an NFL quarterback, and how anybody drafted that guy so high is just astounding to me. But then again, the guy he's fighting it out with, Daniel Jones, was a top overall pick. So just trash. I mean, if these guys are NFL GMs, it'd be no different than us, any of you listening and me being a GM. That's how bad most of these teams are. Jets to finish last in the AFC East. Everybody's hating on the Dolphins, but the Dolphins at least have Tua. When he's healthy, they can put some points up. I don't hate the Dolphins. I don't think they're very good, but I think they can win 7 or 8 games. The Jets, I don't think, will win more than 5. People think that they're better without Aaron Rodgers. I think they're worse. They have Justin Fields now, who is not an NFL quarterback. I don't care what anybody says, he's not. He's proven that. This will be his third team. He's done nothing. All he is an athlete. He's a great athlete, but he's an awful quarterback. He's not going to win him any games. He's going to cost him games. So I have no faith in the Jets. Green Bay to miss the playoffs. I know that's a popular play against. People love Green Bay this year. I don't get it. Something's got to give in the NFC North. They all can't make the playoffs. I'm high on Minnesota, and I'm high on the Bears. I'm worried about the Lions. They lost both coordinators. The roster didn't really get any better. Though they did get Hutchinson back. That's big. I'm curious to see how they're going to do this year. I thought last year was their year. I hope I'm wrong about this, but I think the Lions are also a little bit vulnerable here. But I like the Packers to miss the playoffs. I am not a Jordan Love guy. I am not a Matt LaFleur guy. I don't think this team did anything last year to impress me. They beat all the teams that they should have beat. They never had any big wins. If you go back and look at their schedule, who they played and who they beat, they never beat any good teams. They just beat the garbage teams. And okay, that's good enough for you. But now in your own division, you got six games of teams that are pretty good. So you're not going to get garbage wins in your division at all now, like you had with the Bears for all these years, and you know, even the Vikings and the Lions previously. I think Green Bay misses the playoffs. Plus 110, I like it. And I can't say that I'm going to play this yet, but the Lions at plus 185 to miss the playoffs, I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. Now, my heart says no. I mean, I'm a Lions fan, but I respect them. I like Campbell. I feel good about that city being good. But I think they missed their chance last year. I'm a little worried about it. But one of those teams is missing the playoffs, the Packers or the Lions. So take your pick. I just don't see how you can get all these teams from the north in. And the Bears are going to be better than people think, which everybody loved them last year. If you loved the Bears last year, how could you not like them more? I don't care if Johnson's the worst coach ever. He cannot be worse than Eberflus. It's impossible. It's impossible that he could be worse than Eberflus. So you already got to figure they're going to win two more games minimum. And you got to figure he's an offensive mind, so you got to think Caleb Williams is going to be pretty good. They got really good resources on offense and probably a little bit better defense. And then you got Minnesota. Great play caller, good coach, good roster. J.J. McCarthy plays adequate ball. I mean, could he be as good as Sam Darnold? I don't think that's much to ask. So, yeah, I don't see how it happens. Bills, Texans, Rams, all to win the division. Now, I found this interesting. So, this is a lesson for you here on Better's Last Stand, show number 133. And I used to do these a lot on the show. But since we've been condensed down to try to squeeze in an hour of good radio content here for you on the Watchdog Network, I've sacrificed a few things. And sometimes I probably need to put these back into the show. So, little betting lessons. So, you see these promos on all these betting sites. Bing, 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 everywhere you look. This promo, that promo, this thing, touchdown bonus, same game parlays, all this stuff, boost, 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 everywhere you turn. Can't even log into an app without seeing it. So I saw this on FanDuel. They were advertising a 7-1. Okay, great, great price. Get it here at FanDuel. 7-1, Bills, Texans, and Rams, all to win their divisions. And I said, you know what? I think the Bills will probably win their division by default. I like the Rams to win the West. In a pretty decent Western division. And then the Texans, they had a little bit of a slumpy year last year for them, but I think they'll bounce back. And who's going to contend with them? Maybe the Jags, but we've been off on the Jags for the last 2 years by a lot. They've not gotten where we need to go. They are got a new coach now, so we'll see. But I thought, hey, you know what? That might not be bad. But then I was thinking, I'm going to look at some other places. And then I went and parlayed it on DraftKings, the same bet, Bills, Texans, Rams, not as a promo, just going in there and picking division winners, parlayed it, and it came out to 8-1. So before you play any of those promo-type bonus things, go to other books and check out the same bet and see what your odds are, because you know you're getting an extra dollar on your bet there, 8-1 versus 7-1. So don't always be fooled. These are promos for a reason. They're hard to win, and they're probably ripping you off a little bit. So just that's a lesson learned there. So that Bills, Texans, Rams to win their division, I locked that one in as well on DraftKings. All right, so let's wrap up the football talk here. I don't have anything in college this week. We're gonna start getting heavier into the college here in the coming days. That is for sure. Canadian football, got a couple plays here. You got Winnipeg at Calgary. This one on I believe Thursday. So maybe this misses the show or misses the cutoff for the Watchdog Network. But we'll have it on BLS underscore PRP. I'm going with the Calgary Stampeders. They're 2-1. They're hosting the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at 9 o'clock on the 3rd of July. They're catching 3 at home. I like that. 50.5 is a total no play there. So I'm on the Stampeders. Then on the 4th of July here, American 4th of July, Hamilton at Toronto. 2-1 win teams here. I like this game over. Hamilton 3-0 to the over. Toronto 2-1 to the over. 52.5 is the total. Toronto laying 1 at home. Don't really have an opinion there. I'd probably lay it with the Argos, but 52.5, I like that game over the total. The BC Lions on the, this will be on Saturday. BC Lions 1-3 at the 3-1 Montreal Alouettes. Last two in Montreal in this series have gone over the total. I like this game over too. Montreal, good offense. BC, not so great of a defense and a decent offense. So 49.5, thought that was a tad bit low, so we'll go over there. And then I like a third over on Sunday. Ottawa 1-3 against 0-3 Edmonton. Was going to take a shot with Edmonton. If I could get this up to 3, they're catching 2 at home. Don't love it. Two terrible defenses. Two worst defenses in the league. I expect points here. 52.5. We're going over in that one. So again, that's Calgary plus the 3 at home against Winnipeg. Hamilton and Toronto over 52.5. BC Montreal over 49.5. And Ottawa and Edmonton in a battle of the worst defenses. 52.5. We're going over that one as well. All right, rolling along here on Better's Last Stand, show number 133 here on the Watchdog Network, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studio, downtown Wheeling. Time for some news and notes here before we get into the second half of the show and some picks. Bad beats I have on this, Paul Skeens. Now, you got the Pirates have now won 6 in a row. They swept 2 straight series. That's just hard to imagine. But again, they get Paul Skeens no run support the other night. He leaves the game in a 0-0 game. So he doesn't get the win. They win the game 1-0. So bad beat again to Paul Skeens, who cannot seem to get any run support here from these Pittsburgh Pirates. Illinois Bettors, boy, they got it even worse than Paul Skeens. They now are beginning to pay their taxes. They began it on July the 1st. If you can believe that, this is a sick, sick situation here in the state of Illinois. And you're starting to see this coming across. You got the federal government, which I'm going to get to here in a moment. But Illinois Bettors, I hate when people say Illinois. Illinois Bettors, July 1st began the new per bet tax that the operators will have to impose in the state of Illinois. The tax will be 25 cents for the first 20 million wagers and then 50 cents beyond that threshold. This is insane to me. First of all, this is the dumbest decision a politician group has ever made. Well, maybe close to the dumbest, at least in the state of Illinois. And they've made a lot of dumb decisions. But you are now saying no pro bettor will ever come here. No large bankroll bettor, even if they're not good, if they're part of a syndicate that doesn't even win, they will never come. They will never come to a property in your state. Never. They will never pay this tax. It cuts out their bottom line. They will never, ever, ever. They will never be able to make the numbers work to where they can come and bet in Illinois. So you have just alienated hundreds of thousands. Actually, that's a very low number. That's per person. Millions upon millions of dollars have ceased to come into your state. So I hope you're enjoying this tax, because you're going to be taxing less handle than you ever had before. Bad choices here will assure that illegal bookmaking and offshore betting is never going away. Never. I mean, this is just the first lesson here on the show today. We got another one coming up that's even bigger than this. This one affecting Illinois people. Fortunately, most of us who are listening to this probably don't live in Illinois. But if you're going through there, you're going to pay a tax. If you're visiting Chicago, you're paying a tax. It's insane. So do not bet in the state of Illinois. You are crazy to do that. You're getting ripped off. As if the deck isn't stacked against you enough, now you're going to get taxed on wagers. Even if you win them, if you lose, it doesn't matter. Oh, boy. And then the big, beautiful bill. Politics aside, you probably know where I stand on most political things, but I don't really love this bill at all. I think it's got a few decent things. I think it's got a lot of bad stuff in it. These congressional bills that go through the House and the Senate are just sickening. It's just, they put pork in there, the pork bellies, the hidden dynamics that no one knows about at the time. Well, one of them is in the area of gambling. Oh, this is crazy. So gamblers can only claim now 90% of their winnings. So previously, if you could follow this example with me, previously, if I wagered $10,000, if I won $10,000 worth of wins, 10,000 versus win bets on a single season, on a single year, calendar tax year, $10,000. And then if I also lost $10,000, which that's usually about what people do, scratch out their winnings and their losses offset. That's what most people would do. And most people would probably be pretty honest in doing that. A lot of people tread water, go right around even. Previously, if you won $10,000 and you lost $10,000, it'd be a scratch. You declare your winnings, you declare your losses, it offsets. You don't pay any taxes. Well, not anymore. Now you can only claim 90% of your win. And that means even if you are to win $10,000 and lose $10,000, you can only say that you won $9,000. So you're actually getting taxed for the other $1,000. So you're actually offsetting what you have. So if you won 10 and 10, you can only declare, if you declare 10 and 10, they are only counting 9 out of the 10 that you lost. So you're paying taxes on mythical stuff that you didn't even win or lose. You're paying 10% of that. So, I mean, that's $1,000. So if you just do it, and then think about it, most people are going to be putting in more than $10,000 in a whole year. That adds up, like, across all your bets throughout the entire year. That's where you're at. So now you can only claim $9,000. So there's $1,000 and you gotta pay tax on. So yeah, this may seem minimal, but as the number goes up, it grows and grows and grows, because you can only declare 90% of your loss. So you're always gonna have more win than loss. So they're always gonna tax you. And it's really criminal that they would do that. And it's disgusting. And it's very frustrating. So I wish that part of the bill would be vetoed or repealed, but it won't be because somebody's probably getting a kickback in this situation. Of course, people were quick to jump on, say, Donald Trump's son's involved in some of the other forms of, well, it's not really betting. It's basically like stocks. We talked about it here on the, it's basically like investments. You're buying into sports markets and it's not counted as sports betting. So, so there's some gray area here. I don't know all the specifics of this, but it's not good. It's not a good thing for sports bettors, and it hurts quite a bit, and it will hurt a lot of us here in the future. So very, very bad stuff out of Illinois. Very, very bad stuff out of the federal government. What a surprise. Malik Beasley, also bad stuff. Latest NBA player to be involved in a federal gambling probe. Beasley is also being sued by his former marketing agency, and the marketing agency cited some problems in the suit. Financial issues. They loaned him money despite knowing of his financial issues in the past. So this seems like a guy who could be mixed up in some not so great things. Now, the other side of this is sports books have been subpoenaed several for their betting records on some questionable line moves for Beasley player props. One game in question opened Beasley 2.5 rebounds at plus 118. Eventually, this went off 2.5 rebounds minus 256 to the over. So, yeah, that's a significant. I personally am not sure that would flag a whole lot on my, I mean, it depends on the amount of money that was coming in, I guess, on it would be, because sometimes the market may just see this moving at several shops and you just bump it up and you took some. But then there's more. There's a lot of examples of this. He ended up with 6 rebounds in that game, the aforementioned game there with 2.5 rebounds open, plus 118 up to 256, minus 256, 6 rebounds. So people are saying, this isn't making sense. We're seeing these big moves on him at multiple different books to go over or to go under on his props, and he's going over on all of them. So what that tells me is, and I'm not saying this for sure because I don't know, I have enough information yet, but it sounds like somebody could be into some manipulation here. I don't know what it is, but they also showed some signs of videos of Beasley like playing exceptionally hard to try to get over this rebound total. So I'm not certain that they didn't pull the old switcheroo on people, and I'm not certain this could be possible that anybody would be compromised at the high end sports, you know, the regulated sportsbook level. But if you were to have offshores or illegal bookmakers who offered player props, I'm not sure how many of those do, probably very few, but if you did, you could show market manipulation where you're trying to attract somebody who's following numbers into making this wager with you or a non-regulated party or an offshore party, and then you're pulling the old switcheroo on them. They say, oh, wow, look at this massive move here on Beasley. I'm getting down on this offshore somewhere that's not as protected. I'm going to get down on it, and the fix is in. Maybe the syndicate, the people who are running the book, maybe they were working together in this faction, and Beasley was the guy who they went out there and said, all right, we're going to sucker people into betting your under, and you're going to get this thing over. I don't know if that's how it went down, but that to me is the only reasonable explanation for some of this, but we'll see what the federal probe uncovers. Again, not good. The NBA, they've had a lot of issues with this same federal district where the other previous NBA player prop investigations are going on. I think it's the Eastern District of New York. So not good there for the NBA. World Series of Poker, they're investigating allegations of collusion and holding back payments on the first and second place prize from last Wednesday's final. Oh, yeah. They're talking as if these guys were colluding at the table. There was also some table talk going on. I heard about some of the games that were getting down towards the final. People talking in different languages. That's a no-no. People were furious about this. So, but it's really the old adage is if you're gonna put it up, if you're gonna book it, there's gonna be people out there who are gonna try to cheat it. It's just like any game. If you're gonna keep score, people are gonna try to cheat it. So look out. All right. Now the Saudis, they'll be getting involved in just about anything they can. And now their football clubs are starting to compete on a world level. Saudi football club Al Hilal upsets Man City the other day at 10-1 on the money line. In the knockout stage of the Club World Cup on Monday night, they beat him by a score of 4-3. And the Miami Marlins have now won 8 straight games, all as underdogs, if you can believe that. And the team that got swept at home by the Colorado Rockies, and they are winning games at a rapid clip, taking out the Minnesota Twins. The Minnesota Twins infuriate me. If I bet the Twins, which I try not to ever because they screw me every time. Every time I bet them, they lose. They got shut out last night by the Marlins. If I don't bet them tonight, they'll beat the Marlins 8-0. Some large college football bets coming in here already. This will get your appetite wet for college football right around the corner. Maybe you can show out $615K at your local book. 300, this was the same guy, MGM in Arizona. 300,000 on Texas to win the national title. 200,000 on Penn State to win the national title. And 115,000 on Clemson to win the national title at 13-1. Texas at 5-1 on that bet and 750 on Penn State. Clemson 13-1. So some hefty bets coming out there in Arizona getting ready for college football. And then Joe Burrow currently has more wagers and more money than any other player in the MVP markets across all MGM books. And I noticed this a lot of other places. His numbers continue to drop down. He's down to 6-1 now. He's almost a betting favorite. It's insane to me. It's insane. I don't know if people watch. I certainly do not. But we will keep going here on Bettor's Last Stand as we got still some more to talk about here, about 20-25 minutes left, and it's time to switch over to racing. So thanks for joining us here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 133 from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios here in downtown Wheeling on a hot, hot day as we head into the 4th of July weekend. So first of all, happy 4th of July. Have a great weekend, great Independence Day. Celebrate with friends and family. Be safe. Have some beers, have some cooked out hot dogs and burgers on the grill. Nothing more American than that. And remember how lucky we are to live in this great country. I know people beat on this country all the time, but if you don't want to be here, nobody's asking you to stay. You don't have to. If you think you can find a better life somewhere else, go ahead and do it. But you're not going to. I challenge you. And just remember all the people that have sacrificed for this country, which we're relatively new. We've only been around a couple hundred and a half years here. So give us a chance. We'll hopefully keep getting better, although that is quite the struggle. All right, let's get into IndyCar. Hasn't been any IndyCar racing for a while. I feel like it was the Indy 500 the last time they raced. Matter of fact, Elkhart Lake, I don't even remember that race at all. Didn't even get a chance to watch any of it. We'll be at Mid-Ohio this week, though, for the Honda Mid-Ohio 200. Last time we were at Mid-Ohio, Patty O'Ward won it. 24 laps led there. He was followed by Alex Palou. Alex Palou is just dominating this circuit right now. He won again at Elkhart Lake. He's now won 6 times on the year. Kyle Kirkwood's won the other 3. So the only other guy who's even contended with him at R. Palou, minus 112, 115 range to win this race. I can't bet that. He led 53 laps here last year. I'm going with Colton Herta. Colton Herta's had some really good runs here. He's led laps in the last 2 races here, significant laps. He finished 4th here last year. He's 9-1. We're going to take a shot with him. We're also going to take a shot with Scott McLaughlin. He won this in 2022. You can find him around 7.5, 8-1 range. So we're going to shoot with Scott McLaughlin. And then Scott Dixon. He was 2nd here in 2023. He's led some laps in the past. So I think he could be a dangerous guy at 14-1. So we're going to go with Colton Herta, Scott McLaughlin, and Scott Dixon. Kyle Kirkwood checks in at 7-1. He was finished 8th here last year. So those are our plays on the IndyCar side of things. Again, you can find these at BLS_PRP, where I'll post them all in ample time. Staying with the open-wheeled guys, Lando Norris wins in Austria last week, and he will be looking to make it 2 in a row as he heads to his homeland here for the British Grand Prix. And this is going to be... I'm looking forward to this one. I think you're going to have a situation where you're going to be seeing the very, very best out of Lando Norris, who is the betting favorite at plus 150, followed by his teammate Oscar Piastri for McLaren at plus 160. But I am interested in the other English drivers here. Lewis Hamilton won this race last year, and he is an Englishman, and he's on a new team right now, and his team has been picking up some steam. I thought Ferrari ran very well last week. Charles Leclerc was 3rd. He was on the podium, and Lewis Hamilton was 4th. So pretty good run out of Ferrari. Leclerc, after the race, said that Ferrari is really making strides right now, and they're starting to get to where they can contend with Mercedes, who they outperformed last week, and McLaren. Can they beat McLaren? I don't know. But in a strategy race, which is how Lewis Hamilton won this last year for Mercedes, on the other side of that, the other Mercedes that was in this had a water leak, George Russell last year. So he finished dead last or close to last. So he's an Englishman too. So I think you're going to have extra motivation from these Englishmen. Lando Norris, obviously the guy to beat, but Piastri, who really took some incredible runs at him last week. If you watch that, a lot of times you don't see a lot of great passing in Formula One, except for the beginning of the race. Well, Piastri about drove the wheels off his car a few times to get by Norris, and Norris was just able to hold him off in areas of the track where he couldn't even pass. It was very, very impressive by Piastri, but he couldn't get it done. George Russell, 12-1 to win this race. I don't think that's insane. Mercedes has been decent. If the strategy could pan out for them, they might have a shot here. Lewis Hamilton, 18-1 to win this. I'd say he's live. I know last year we didn't think he had the car, but he led 15 laps and he won the race. Ferrari's improving. Ferrari to win this race, either Ferrari, either Hamilton or Leclerc, you can get plus 650. I thought that was worth a bet. Leclerc's 16-1. Ferrari double top six, you can get that anywhere in the minus 150 to 160 range if you shop around pretty quickly, depending on how they qualify. I don't think that's a bad bet. I thought Mercedes double top six as well was a decent bet as well with at plus 250. So those are what I'm looking at. I'm looking for Ferrari here to kind of shock everybody and maybe get this job done. Lewis Hamilton led 15 laps last year. Lando Norris led 19. George Russell led 17. So the Englishmen all led significant laps. They want this badly, and I think they may get it. So we're going to go with Lando. Oh, I don't really want to bet that at plus 150, so I'm probably passing on that. But George Russell at 12-1, Hamilton at 18, and then the Ferrari to win the race at plus 650, as well as the double top sixes for Ferrari and Mercedes. Again, BLS_PRP. We'll have those F1 plays for you as well as we head to the British Grand Prix. All right, and then NASCAR. Chase Elliott cashes for us last week, 16-1. We had 1, 2, and 3 here on Bettors Last Stand and the sixth place driver. So we finished first, second, third, and sixth. Very, very good performance out of us. Our best of the year, 25.50 to the good as far as unit size goes in the NASCAR race last week at Atlanta. Again, Chase Elliott cashes at 16-1. Now we go to the Chicago Street Course. Shane Van Gisbergen won the Mexico Street Course just a few weeks ago. He is the plus 180 favorite. He's won this race once, and he also finished dead last in the other one. Alex Bowman won this last week. Bowman, great car last week. He was one of the tickets that we cashed for a top 5 and a top 10. Or a top 10 and, yeah, it was a top 5 and a top 10. Yeah, so Alex Bowman, tremendous job out of him. His team really getting some momentum back. Ever since he got hurt, he's been performing at a pretty high level. He's 20-1 here. Probably not going to be able to win it again, so I might pass on him. I thought Chris Bell was interesting. Of the top caliber guys, plus 650 for him. He's led more laps than anybody at this track, and he's got two terrible finishes. So don't be fooled. The odds makers, of course, are not. They were on that perfectly. 650, where he should be. So Chris Bell, going to have to be a use. I'm hoping I can find a 7 out there, and I feel very good about that. Tyler Reddick, 11-1. He's had bad luck in both of these races. Well, actually, the other one, he ended up getting into the top 10, but the race in 2023, bad luck for him. Had a really good car. He's 11-1. Got to play him. Ty Gibbs, sorry. He's been great here, too. He had a third last year, ninth in 2023. He led 18 laps last year. He's 11-1, going to be on him. William Byron, he was eighth last year, 13th in 2023, 14-1. Love his chances here. And then some longer shot guys. Michael McDowell, 22-1, 7th here in 2023, 5th here last year. Very good road racer. Keep an eye on him. Austin Cindric, kind of got a bad mark here. He's had two not-so-great finishes, and he's off a really bad luck week last week at Atlanta when he had a very good car. 34-1 on Austin Cindric at a road street course. That is insane. He's in the top five. If you just had all road race street tracks and you had to pull out your five best road racers, Austin Cindric's in the top five for sure of all the racers on the circuit. He's 34-1. Are you kidding me? That's insane. I'll play him just based on price alone. I thought when I would look at him, I thought he would be similar to William Byron or Ty Gibbs, 12-14-1 range, something like that. 34-1 is insanity for a guy with that kind of quality, first of all, with his team, Penske, and his ability to road race. Exceptional. Bad number there on Austin Cindric. That's a miss. I would play him just on principle. Justin Haley has been great here. He's been he's got an even 9.0 average in the two times that he's raced here. He's led 23 laps. Now, Justin Haley's not up front a whole lot, but at this track, it suits him. These and the super speedways, he's done really well. This track particularly, it bumps him up. He's 200-1 on the open. Now, before they qualify, 201. Again, that's a miss. He should probably be somewhere around 65-1 for this because he led laps and had a good car here at Chicago and could have won this race for sure. I think it was the year Van Gisbergen won. But nonetheless, an even 9 average in the two races shows that he's been running the top 10. I think this guy is live for a top 10 here. He can get a great price on him. He's 201 to win the race. Will he win the race? Probably not. But can he finish in top 10? Absolutely. Ricky Stenhouse, 6th here last year. You wouldn't really think of him as a road race type guy. But one thing about Ricky Stenhouse, he doesn't shy away from banging and bumping out on the track. So that suits him pretty good at a track like this. He's 250-1. Will he win the race? Very, very unlikely. Less likely than Justin Haley. But can he run in the top 10? Absolutely. So recapping our plays for the Chicago Street Race, Chris Bell, our top play, 6.5, 7-1 on him. Tyler Reddick, 11-1. Ty Gibbs, 11-1. William Byron, 14. Michael McDowell, 22-1. Austin Cindric, an insane 34-1. Justin Haley, 200-1. And Ricky Stenhouse, 250-1. I wouldn't be against playing back Chase Elliott here, but I didn't love his number at 11-1. So he's the kind of racer that could get hot and carry some momentum. But that's our racing recap for the day here on Bettors Last Stand as we head into a good racing weekend. 3 races on the card. Got a few minutes here left with you here on the Watchdog Network. Thanks for tuning in. Bettors Last Stand show number 133. Getting down to football season. We're in July already. It won't be long before we'll be announcing the high school football schedule here on the Watchdog Network. And you can tune in to us here on the Pine Room guys, every Tuesday and Friday from noon to 3. So check us out. If you got feedback for the show, BLS_PRP, you can email us. You can call us. You can call the show, 304-214-1600, Frio and Stack Auction Service Hotline. Give us a call during the radio show. Let us know what you're thinking here. You can always email me at the Pine Room Studios, at the Pine Room Studios on social media. Get a hold of us at Bettors Last Stand on the X. Whatever you want to do to try to get a hold of us, if you got any questions, comments, observations, anything you want to talk about here on the show. Going back to the NFL a little bit, I was going through teams, and when I came up with that Packers to miss the playoffs at plus 110, I was going through, and I was like, man, the NFC is going to be really hard to figure out because you got to figure Philadelphia. I had Philadelphia, Minnesota, Washington, Rams, San Francisco, Tampa, like all pretty sure to get into the playoffs. And then you got the Bears, you got the Vikings, you got the, or I had the Vikings in there. You got the Bears, you got the Packers, you got the Cowboys, you got the, who's the other team I was forgetting? Bears, Packers, Cowboys, Lions. So like that's a log jam to get the 7 teams in right there. The AFC is a little bit easier. Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City, and the Chargers. I feel very strong about those 4 teams. Then you're going to have somebody out of the South, so probably Houston. Then do you go Jacksonville? Do you go Steelers? I think the Bengals 160 to make the playoffs is ridiculous. Denver, a lot of people high on them. I don't get that. They got a good defense. Minus 120 to miss. I thought the AFC was up for some potential upsets. All right, let's get into AFL. It's Australian Rules Football. We'll get it going here Friday morning, early Friday morning. It's Collingwood, the Magpies, coming in. The best team in the league, 13-2 on the season. They take on the 6-9 Carlton Blues. Carlton will be the host here. This is an interesting game. Collingwood did not play great last week, but they don't need to. They're -27.5 here in this game. It's 160.5 on the total there. They've won 3 out of 4 in this series. They've won 7 straight overall. Carlton's lost 2 straight. And the last loss Collingwood took was to a very good Geelong team. I would actually lean Carlton in this game, but I'm not going to play them. I like the under 160.5. Collingwood, very good defense. I still think they're beatable, though, when it comes time for the grand final. So we'll talk more about that when we have the time. But under 160.5, Collingwood and Carlton. GWS, Greater Western Sydney Giants at the West Coast Eagles. This game on Saturday or on Friday morning. This is all 2 Friday morning games. That's not, you don't usually have that. It'll be GWS -23.5 on the road at West Coast. 165.5 is the total. 4 of the last 5 in this series have went over the total. West Coast, the last 3 of their games have went under the total. So I don't know about this game. I like the under here. I know a lot of people would say this is an over game, but West Coast has been playing a little better on defense, not so good on offense. So we're going to go with GWS -23.5 and under 165.5. And West Coast actually had won the last 5 at home against GWS, but we're going to take a shot against them here. Gold Coast at Essendon. This is a Friday night game, 10:35 p.m. It'll be 9-5 Suns against the 6-8 Bombers. Bombers catching 22.5 at home, 171.5 is the total. Essen has lost four straight overall, but I like them here. I'm going to take them plus the points. They burned us a couple of weeks ago. Let's hope they have a better performance here. Gold Coast beats the middle teams. This is a bad team. I think they'll win this game, but I don't think they cover. And I like over 171.5 between the Bombers and the Suns. Richmond at Geelong, 3-12 Richmond, 10-5 Geelong. Geelong comes in off of a bye, but I went back and started looking through their numbers, and I couldn't get. It was hard for me to find cover numbers on these games. So Geelong, though, has really struggled off the bye under their coach, Chris Scott. And he's been around for a while. So, and he said, I hate bye weeks. It kills our momentum. Although they performed so badly against Brisbane in their final game before the bye. So maybe they'll come out a little bit inspired. But they're laying 60.5 here at home. I'm taking Richmond plus the points. Geelong comes out sleepwalking, I think, and I like the under 176.5. Port Adelaide at Brisbane. Brisbane also coming off the bye. Them, on the other hand, are on a good run off of the bye, and we will be on them here, minus 26.5 against Port Adelaide. They come into this game 10-4-1. They're very strong at the Gabba, their home field. The last three in this series have went over the total, 168.5. And I, despite Port Adelaide playing better, I'm back in Brisbane here, minus 26.5 and over 168.5. Hawthorn at St. Kilda. Hawthorne's won three straight overall. Three of the last four in this series have stayed under. St. Kilda has been very, very poor. They've lost three straight overall. They'll be catching 18.5 from the Hawks at home. 167.5 is the total. I'll go with Hawthorne minus the points and under 167.5 that game on Saturday morning. Saturday night, 11 o'clock Eastern, Fremantle at Sydney. Sydney minus 9.5, 156.5 on the total. Fremantle's won six straight, and I've been waiting to fade this team for weeks now. And this is the chance. Sydney, actually a 9.5-point favorite at home against the Fremantle Dockers, who have won 10 games, won six straight, and they're taking on the Swans, who are just 6-9. Swans are a misguided 6-9. Like they're not as bad as their record indicates. So I like the Swans here. The last two in Sydney between these two teams have been really, really high scoring affairs. This total a little bit low, 156.5, will go over. Maybe a touch of bad weather in the Sydney area, but nothing major. So we're going to go over 156.5 and take the Swans minus 9.5 to end that six-game winning streak of the Dockers. And then the final game, Melbourne at Melbourne Demons at the Adelaide Crows. Adelaide 10-5, Demons 5-10. Very poor team here. Four straight losses for Melbourne Demons. Three of the last five in this tilt have went over the total, but I think I'm going to go the other way there. Adelaide's won 4 of 5 overall. And the Melbourne Demons had won four straight in this series. Adelaide will want revenge here. They're going to get a chance to take it. They lay 28.5 at home. They should smash the Melbourne Demons, and they're going to go under 172.5 with some wind and some weather potentially at the Adelaide Oval on Sunday. So again, Adelaide and under in that one. So these games all posted at BLS_PRP. So keep an eye out for those here. Better's last name. We put those each and every week on our Twitter page. So enjoy AFL football. We're on a 60% run over the last month and a half. It's been a good run. All right. Quickly, as we wind down the show, we got tennis to still talk about and some soccer. So exciting stuff here. Better's last name, show number 133. All right. So you got the Club World Cup going on, and you also got the CONCACAF Gold Cup. Now, I don't know who won these matches, but I was going to recommend plays on, which I already posted these at BLS_PRP. So if you're following this midweek, you'll be able to get plays. I think Guatemala to score a goal against the USA was a very good bet. It was like even money, maybe minus 105. I think both teams to score in that match is pretty good. I think Mexico minus 0.75 on the Asian handicap. I gave that one out. And I think Mexico probably wins this game like 2-0. Maybe if you can find a three out there, play the game under. And I think Mexico will hoist the Gold Cup here in a few days by the weekend. So even money on Mexico to win the Gold Cup. I think they beat USA or Honduras, whichever comes out of the games. All right, these games are on the weekend. Friday night, it'll be El Hilal, the team who upset Man City, against Fluminense, who is the Brazilian side who beat Inter Milan. And I'm going to go with Fluminense here at plus 175. I think they're the little bit better team. El Hilal's probably going to be pretty excited about that back line they carved up of Man City. So we're going to go over 2.5 there in the Brazilian side in game number one. Game number two, it's Chelsea, my Chelsea Blues from Stamford Bridge against Palmeiras, who is a Brazilian side, plus 285 on them. Chelsea plus 205. I think Chelsea probably gets this done. I think it's a very low scoring game. Maybe Chelsea 1-0, 2-0. I think they can post a shutout here. So we'll go with the Blues to take out Palmeirense. And that is the quarterfinal game in the FIFA Club World Cup. Other quarterfinals, you got Bayern Munich and PSG. This is like a European Champions League game here. PSG plus 120. They are the reigning Champions League champions. Bayern Munich plus 205. They beat Flamengo. PSG had a nice win over, who did they beat? Oh, they beat Inter Miami. So, and Messi took them out 4-0. PSG, going to be hard to beat here. But I think this game is a little bit tighter than people think. These teams, this isn't just an exhibition. They actually have really good financial relief if they're able to win this tournament. So PSG will try. They may help buy them another player when they need him in Europe next year. So I think PSG is all in for this. I think this game is played very tightly. Last three between these two teams in Europe have stayed under, so we're going to under three. I know most people would think, oh, this is like an exhibition. These teams won't care. They'll go up and down. I think they're going to play it tight. I like an under three, and I like PSG to win the match. Borussia Dortmund and Real Madrid, this one I think will be a little bit more open. Real Madrid only knows one way to play. Borussia Dortmund, same thing. Real Madrid's beat them the last four times. I think Real Madrid takes care of business here, and they win this match 3-1, something like that. Could be a BTTS too. So we'll go over three, and we'll go with Real Madrid minus at least the 0.5 on the Asian handicap. All right, so there's our two men's soccer rundowns. Now, we did give some plays out in the women's side of things last week, and we put some plays up on BLS underscore PRP. Again, we were on Norway and Iceland. We're on Spain to win that group, or on Germany to win the entire tournament. They're in Group C against Poland, Denmark, and Sweden. Like their chances a lot. I like France to edge out England in that group, and I think that France probably going to have a decent shot of advancing out of the group further than England. So we gave that one out too. Again, these all at BLS underscore PRP as I search through my notes here to try to find today's papers. But geez, I got a lot to keep track of here. Okay, so we had for Friday's games, we have Sweden minus 0.75, Sweden and Denmark over 2.5. We got Germany minus 2.75. As they take on, who does Germany play? Germany has a pretty favorable first round matchup. So I think Germany, who actually has some of the, you know, top level players in this entire thing, I think Germany, Julia Gwynn, really good player, left back. I think she's left back. Really, really good player, the captain for them. Okay, so Germany, they take on Poland. We're going to be laying it with them. I think they win that game by at least three goals. We're also going to go over 3.5 in that one. Thursday's games, if you catch this in time, these, again, BLS underscore PRP. We have Belgium or draw at even money. And Belgium and Italy, both teams to score at minus 150. We'll go to Spain minus 2.25 against Portugal and over 3.5 at minus 130. Feel like that's a pretty good price. So we bet Spain into the most likely winner plus 175. If you wanted to put that with something in a parlay, like a small, like a two-team type thing where you might want to play a McLaren car to win an F1 race or something that you, I don't want to say it's a certainty because that's not a thing in this betting world that we live in. But if you found something there, Scotty Scheffler, top 10 at the British Open, something, maybe a little bit of booster there with Spain. But I'm playing Germany at plus 525 to win it all. I think they have a really good team. I liked them the last tournament. I thought they played very well. They made it to the semis. I think they get over the hump this time. So we'll take Germany to reach the final at plus 225. Germany to win it all, 525. Netherlands to reach the knockout stage at plus 105. Iceland to reach the knockout stage, which is not good today. They got a red card early. It wasn't pretty. Plus 110. Belgium to reach the knockout stage at plus 350. Salma Pellerello of Spain, 14-1 to lead the entire tournament in scoring. Claudia Pena, 12-1 to lead. She's also Spanish. And Alicia Russo for England, 11-1 to lead the tournament in scoring. Julia Gwynn to be the player of the tournament from Germany. Highest finish, Netherlands over Sweden. France over England. Germany to win Group C. France to win Group D at plus 150. France to be eliminated in the semifinals at plus 440. Those are soccer plays for the Women's Euros just underway this week in Switzerland. So hopefully you can catch a few of those matches and enjoy some soccer during the day here on a slow time of year for daytime events on the sports calendar. Although I guess it isn't because you got tennis and you got soccer. I mean, I couldn't be happier about that, how that sets up. But tennis, let's recap these really quickly. Again, we were very, very good in our start to Wimbledon. 9-4 as we start off the Wimbledon grass court tournament with some pretty good ones. Jasmine Paolini to reach the fourth round. That is a loser. We'll mark that one down. These are all posted at BLS_PRP. We already have a winner with Sabalenka to go further than golf. We got Keys to go further than Swiatek. That one's still intact. We got Fritz to go further than Tommy Paul. We got a Keys Rybakina exacta final at 40-1. We got a Keys Mary Andreeva at 80-1. Sabalenka Rybakina 12-1. These all intact. Sabalenka Andreeva at 20-1. Good one. Djokovic Alcaraz 6-1. Alcaraz Sinner plus 165. That's the most logical, but I don't love it. Fritz to reach the third round. We need him to finish out that winner today. Sabalenka plus 150 to win Q1. We also got Keys in that one and Svitolina who won today. So Keys and Svitolina already through to the third. Actually, Sabalenka is too. So all three of those through to the third round. Q2, Diana Schneider, she is gone. So that's another loser that we suffered today. Linda Noskova, plus 750. She did win today. Mira Andreeva still alive in Q3. Rybakina, plus 240. She's our outright winner, our top choice. 6-1 on her. Mira Andreeva at 14-1 to win the tournament. In the men's, I said we lost Medvedev, we lost Musetti, we still have Fritz, who's been very leery. Djokovic to win Q2, plus 130. Alcaraz, minus $3 in Q4. That one's one that you parlay it or you don't play it. Parlay, Alcaraz, yeah, as I wrote down, Alcaraz Q4 with Sinner and Q1, that gets you to minus 130. That's not bad. Alcaraz, plus 107 to reach the final. That's a very good bet. He had a little test early, but I think he continues to build. He looked very good today. Outright winners, Alcaraz, plus 120. Djokovic, 7-1. So, those were our plays in tennis. We are off to a very good start. As I said, the match bets, I'll have more of those up on BLS_PRP all weekend and all week long. That's going to do it for us here on show number 133 from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. Again, don't forget about us, Pine Room on the Watchdog, noon to 3 on Tuesday and Friday, usually Slider and Stack. Follow us. Everybody on a little bit of a summer vacation here and there, so you never do know. But WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be for all the fabulous programming here. It'll be football season around the corner. We'll be carrying all these games here. These guys are doing post-one baseball right here on the network. So lots happening here on the Watchdog Network in the Pine Room Studios. So visit us at the Pine Room Studios, all over social media at thepineroomstudios.com, Pine Room Studios YouTube page, where you can watch their post-one streams when they're not just doing the radio. And that'll be getting you ready for the high school football season. And we have plenty of other good content right here on the Watchdog Network, including this show, Better's Last Stand. So thanks for being a part of it. Again, best of luck to you and your wagers this weekend across all the sports that we did cover today. BLS_PRP, be sure you're following that on X, watchdognetwork.com. Be sure that's bookmarked so you can listen to the stream at any time when our radio tower goes down during a storm. Watchdognetwork.com, the stream on there where you want to be. So have a great, happy, and safe 4th of July. Best of luck in your wagers, and we will see you next week on Better's Last Stand here on the Watchdog Network.